When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The Devil's Board. Voices from the Void. The darkness gathers, and with it, the whispers. I'm Raven Vale, and this is Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, we journey to a city pulsating with life, a vibrant tapestry of ancient Aztec echoes and modern Spanish heritage. We are heading to Mexico City, Mexico, in the crisp autumn of 1984. Here, in a place where folklore is not just story, but palpable presence, a seemingly innocent teenage game would open a doorway to the inexplicable, plunging three young lives into a profound coma and awakening them with a synchronized scream that would forever haunt their memories and ours. This is the chilling account of the Devil's Board incident. Our story revolves around three schoolgirls, close friends, whom we will call Sofia, Elena, and Mariana. They were typical teenagers, full of youthful curiosity, perhaps a little bored, and drawn to the allure of the supernatural. Like many adolescents around the world, they had heard whispers of the Ouija board, a simple wooden planchette and a lettered board, rumored to be a portal to the spirit world. It was a forbidden thrill, a dangerous game. And on a quiet afternoon, perhaps at one of their homes after school, or in a secluded corner of a schoolyard, their curiosity overcame their apprehension. They gathered around the board, their fingers lightly resting on the planchette, giggling nervously as they recited the incantation, inviting a spirit to speak. Their intention was likely harmless, a playful attempt to contact a ghost, to ask questions about crushes or future fortunes. But in the hushed intensity of that session, the air grew cold, a heavy stillness descended, and the planchette began to move with an undeniable force. It spelled out messages that grew increasingly unsettling, warnings, dark prophecies, and commands that sent shivers down their spines. The atmosphere grew thick with a palpable dread. The girls, growing increasingly frightened, tried to end the session, to say goodbye, to close the supposed portal. But the planchette reportedly resisted, pulling fiercely against their fingers, refusing to move to goodbye. In a moment of panic, perhaps the board was forcefully removed or even reportedly shattered. And it was in that chaotic instant that the real horror began. Almost immediately, the girls began to fall ill. The symptoms were sudden, terrifying, and utterly baffling. Sofia, the most sensitive of the group, was the first. Her eyes rolled back in her head, her body went rigid, and she collapsed, falling into a profound, unresponsive state. Then, Elena, beside her, convulsed once, her eyes wide with terror, before she too fell into a deep, inexplicable sleep. Finally, Mariana, screaming in fear, succumbed moments later, her body going limp. All three girls, in a terrifying, synchronized collapse, had fallen into comas. Panic erupted. The girls were immediately rushed to a local hospital, the scene one of utter chaos and parental anguish. Doctors, a flurry of activity, subjected the girls to every conceivable medical test. Neurological scans, blood tests, toxicology reports, examinations by specialists in various fields. They checked for head trauma, for exposure to unknown toxins, for signs of underlying medical conditions. But the results came back clear, again and again. There was no physical injury, no chemical agent, no detectable brain activity anomaly, no known medical condition that could explain their comatose state. Their vital signs were stable, their bodies physically unharmed, yet their minds remained utterly unreachable, trapped in a mysterious, unresponsive sleep. The medical community was baffled, their scientific expertise proving utterly useless against a condition that defied all known diagnostic criteria. As days bled into weeks, the girls remained in their comas, their families torn between the frustrating medical uncertainty and a growing, desperate belief in something spiritual, something demonic. Whispers of the Ouija board incident spread from the girls' friends to the wider community, reaching the ears of local religious authorities. Faced with a medical mystery that science could not fathom, the families turned to faith as their last hope. They sought the help of a local clergyman, Father Eduardo, a priest known for his deep faith and willingness to confront the unexplained. Father Eduardo visited the hospital. He recognized the signs, not from medical textbooks, but from centuries of spiritual doctrine. He believed the girls were not merely ill, they were afflicted by something malevolent, a spiritual entity that had latched onto them during their ill-advised Ouija session. He decided to perform a solemn blessing and a minor exorcism ritual at their hospital bedsides, praying for their deliverance from the unseen darkness that held them captive. The moment of the blessing was filled with an unbearable tension. The families, nurses, and doctors watched with a mixture of desperate hope and scientific skepticism. Father Eduardo began his prayers, reciting ancient Latin verses, sprinkling holy water, and making the sign of the cross over each girl. The atmosphere in the room grew heavy, almost oppressive, and then a sound, a low moan, followed by a shudder from Sophia. Then Elena, her body twitching. And then, in a terrifying, synchronized awakening, all three girls suddenly, violently, convulsed. Their eyes snapped open, wide and unseeing, staring at something beyond the room. And from their throats, simultaneously, in a chilling unison that sliced through the hushed silence of the hospital room, erupted a single, ancient, guttural Latin phrase. All three girls, none of whom had any prior knowledge of Latin, screamed the exact same words, their young voices distorted, devoid of their normal inflection, replaced by a sound that resonated with primordial evil. The phrase, according to witnesses, was ad infernum, a chilling command, or perhaps a declaration, meaning to hell. It was not a cry of liberation, but a terrifying echo of where their souls had seemingly been dragged, or what had commanded them. The aftermath was one of profound shock and fear. The girls eventually recovered physically, slowly returning to consciousness, though shaken and deeply traumatized by the experience. They had no clear memory of their comatose state, only fragmented, terrifying flashes of darkness, cold, and unseen torment. The medical community remained baffled, officially categorizing their recovery as an inexplicable remission of an unknown condition, while privately grappling with the terrifying reality of what they had witnessed. The incident quickly became known as the Devil's Board incident in the teeming streets of Mexico City, a grim warning whispered to any young person tempted to toy with the supernatural. What truly happened to Sophia, Elena, and Mariana in 1984, dear listeners? Did a simple Ouija board, a perceived harmless game, genuinely open a portal to malevolent entities, drawing them into a dangerous realm beyond human comprehension? Was their synchronized coma a form of shared possession, a collective spiritual kidnapping by an unseen force? and the chilling Latin phrase. Was it a message from the entities themselves? A final, triumphant declaration of their power before receding? Or was it a traumatic imprint, a fragment of the infernal realm that clung to their minds, forever marking their brief journey to hell? The case of the Devil's Board incident remains a terrifying testament to the potential dangers of dabbling with the unseen. It serves as a stark reminder that some games are not meant to be played, some doors are meant to remain closed, and that the veil between our world and what lies beyond can be thinner than we dare to imagine. And sometimes, when that veil is torn, the entities that cross over leave behind not just questions, but the chilling echoes of a collective scream, forever whispering a dark truth in an ancient tongue. Until next time, when the whispers grow louder. Good night.